This morning on Radio Jackie, we are talking about the event Pedal for Paws coming up in Cobham this weekend. And I'm joined by two people hosting the event. Hello to you both.
Hi, yes. My name is Peter Egan. I'm an actor and an animal advocate. I'm also a patron and co-chair of Saving Strays with Maria Slough, who's sitting there with Freedom.
Yes, I'm Maria Slough. I'm a photographer and documentary filmmaker, and I am a trustee and the co-chair of Saving Strays.
And you've got your beautiful dog there. What's her name? Introduce her for us.
This is Freedom, and Freedom was rescued from a killing station just over a year ago. A couple of us went in, found a few dogs in a terrible, terrible state. She was one of them. And we negotiated over 5 days the release of a handful of them. She was one. And we named her Freedom, and to just depict what all dogs need in their life, which is being free from incarceration. And so she's a bit of a sort of ambassador dog now for the charity. And we run a thing called the Freedom Campaign to keep us being able to fund the release of other dogs.
And to live, as you can see, with great affection and love from a guardian like you, Maria.
Yes.
You know, that's the dog is so beautiful and so relaxed, and it's such a change to see a dog like Freedom out of the shelters where they are kept in horrible conditions in places in Bosnia, all over the Eastern Europe, sadly, but particularly in Bosnia, where Saving Strays works and do remarkable work rescuing dogs from these terrible conditions, either on the streets or in these kill shelters.
And for people who may not know, what are the kill shelters for? Is it for meat to eat, or why do they have them?
No, it's not for meat to eat. I mean, that happens in Southeast Asia mainly. But Maria can tell you more clearly, I think, about what that is.
Yes, I mean, the system is that they have a lot of stray and street dogs out there, and as Peter said, right across that part of Europe. Originated from the war, when a lot of dogs were misplaced, as were the people. But now it's a bit of a culture. So the dogs out there are really only alarm systems. They're kept outside on a chain. The only domestic dogs you see are fully intact breeding dogs. So these dogs are rounded up from the streets and taken to these sort of public asylums, if you like. And they are pretty much left to rot. They're changing the rules slightly now. A lot of them were killed quite barbarically back in 2017 when we started working out there, Peter and I and the team. In some provinces now, they do uphold the no-kill rule. But what that means really for the dogs is that they are just left without any veterinary care whatsoever. And the dogs that we found that day, I mean, Freedom was unrecognisable. She was sort of brown in colour for a start. She was covered in blood and faeces. She had skin disease all over her face. We rescued another dog called Grady that day, who we named after Paul O'Grady because the world had just lost him. And she had holes through to her bone on most of her body, where she had these massive ulcers, where she'd just been deeply neglected. And so they're just left to rot, really, if they're not killed in the most inhumane ways. They're not nice places.
It's very sad, I think. I mean, it happens a lot in Eastern Europe that they have a very bizarre relationship with our favourite animal, the companion animal, the dog or the cat. They do tend to treat them, as Maria said, as alarm animals. You know, they keep them outside the house, and they don't create the most remarkable relationship that we all have with our companion animals. And if you've never had it, you're missing the biggest treat in the world. They are the most sensational creatures to spend your lives with. I've got four rescues at the moment, and I just couldn't be without them. They're just wonderful, wonderful creatures. And they make you, the wonderful thing about dogs is that they help you live in the moment. They also make you very forgiving because they live in the moment, and they don't resent or hold grudges. They, you know, will live with you as you are on a day-to-day basis and give you everything. They're wonderful. And I just wish that everyone in the world could experience the great relationship that those of us who have dogs or cats in our lives can experience with a wonderful companion animal.
I so agree with that, because having taken quite a few dogs from the point of being completely shut down emotionally, and some of them, as I say, very physically abused, their absolute ability, as Peter said, to forgive and to want to forgive and to want to be your friend. And they they're very self-contained, a lot of these dogs, and I think that's how they survive the atrocities that, they've been subjected to. But a big part of what we want to do eventually out there, and we're on our way at the moment, we're creating the most beautiful education book at the moment, is obviously we rescue, we rehabilitate, we look after these dogs' physical and emotional well-being. We rehome when we can. But we want to educate, and we want to educate the younger generation, particularly out there, and introduce them to some of these dogs, as Peter says, so they can experience that just wonderfully remarkable, non-judgmental, open, beautiful relationship that you have with a companion animal, because there's nothing like it.
There's also an essential message, I think, that we all promote, that those of us that are engaged in animal advocacy, is the absolute importance of spaying and neutering your dogs. And the reason why there is huge problems, particularly in Eastern Europe, but throughout the world, with the dog population and stray dogs, is that nobody actually takes the care to spay and neuter them. And you have to do that in order to reduce the dog population, to reduce all kinds of problems like pack animals, rabies, etc. And all of those are to the benefit of human beings, even if they don't want to have the dog on a day-to-day level in their lives. We are responsible for every creature that we are in contact with on our planet, I believe. And I think it's a social imperative that we try very hard to try and control the stray dog population by spaying and neutering.
Absolutely. No, I do agree. So you guys are hosting Pedal for Paws this month. It's a month-long event across June. And there's an event in Cobham this weekend, if I am correct. First of all, tell us, what is Pedal for Paws?
I'll take that one, shall I, Peter? So Pedal for Paws is a virtual cycle ride from Surrey to Sarajevo. And we might try and get back again if we can. The aim is to raise £10,000. We're asking people to get on their bikes. Kids can get on their bikes in the backyard, donate a pound of their pocket money. You can get on your bike in the gym. We've actually got people mowing their lawns and donating. We've got people walking their dog because they don't cycle. So anything really, about started out as a cycle ride. So the aim is to raise the funds, bring people together, do a little bit of education as we go, let people have fun, get out there, do something active, and reach our goal of £10,000. It's very, very easy. You can go to our website, you literally click a QR code to donate, and then you make a note of how many kilometres that you have covered. And it's going very well. We've got people cycling in Australia, in Canada, in America. I think we're at about £2,000 at the moment, so we've got a way to go with sponsorship. But people are really, really enjoying it, and we're hoping to make it an annual event.
And there's an event on Sunday, isn't there, Mary, on the 23rd, which is in Cobham, just outside Newsmith, with two static bikes loaned to us by the 225 Club. So people can pop onto those and do a bit of standing still cycling. I did a few miles this morning before I got out of bed. And people can choose the way of actually counting it, you know, their kilometres and adding them together. And the money is going to be put to such great use. I visited the shelter just outside Sarajevo, where Maria was working a few weeks ago. And the work there is just sensational. And the team is magnificent, doing the greatest committed work for these wonderful dogs.
And where exactly are these bikes stationed in Cobham? And how can people get involved? Do they have to book a slot, or can they just come on down?
So on Sunday, the event is, the whole of Cobham is coming together. It's called One Summer's Day. And they're closing off some of the roads. They're expecting a lot of people. We are going to be right outside Bourne Estate Agents, next door to the Dewsmith. And up, you can just rock on up. We're going to have our team there. We're going to have a tombola. We're going to have some merchandise. All the local retailers are getting involved. You can just come and see us. And if you can't make the 23rd, on the 29th, which is the following Saturday, we're going to be at Cobham Football Club all day doing the same thing. And tombola, the bikes, a complete replica of what we're doing this Sunday. And then on the evening of June the 29th, we have some tickets available to sell to a lovely red carpet event, which is happening at the Dewsmith, which will kind of bring the whole month to a lovely close.
Wonderful.
Well, it sounds absolutely brilliant. And as you mentioned, Peter, you've already done a couple of miles this morning. Why did you guys choose the virtual cycle ride? Is that so people can get involved from wherever they are?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a really, really clever idea. But it was Lynn Chitty, wasn't it, who came up with it, Maria?
Yes, one of our lovely volunteers called Lynn Chitty, who does so much for us, she came up with the concept. And there's a Facebook page, which is a group which you can join. And on there, people are uploading their photographs and saying what they're doing. And actually, one of the team is showing us where we are on the map as we cover more kilometres. So we've got pictures of if we're in Austria or if we're in Slovenia, and we're picking out landmarks. So really, we always look to engage with people, bring people together, make them have fun in a responsible way, because then we make new friends, and there's new avenues of way to educate and just inform people of what's happening and bring people together.
It sounds great. It's nice to have fun while you're doing it as well, isn't it? Can you remind us, what's the total distance that you're trying to cover?
Initially, 2,102 kilometres.
A snip. I'll do that tomorrow morning.
Easily done. A question for both of you. What can people expect from the day, and who can come down? You know, is it family friendly, dog friendly?
Absolutely.
Totally family friendly, totally dog friendly, both the 23rd and the 29th. Dogs absolutely always welcome wherever we are. And yes, we've got some lovely things for kids going on there. June the 29th, the Dewsmith, equally dog friendly if you want to come along and bring your dog. You don't have to buy a ticket for your dog. Everything for everybody.
And if you're a human, do you have to buy a ticket?
For the 29th on the evening, you do.
Brilliant stuff. And where can they find those? On the website?
Everything's on the website, yes. But on the 23rd, to come along and cycle, no charge, just come along and join us, make your donation and hop on a bike.
And starting off with you, Peter, what would you say to people to encourage them to come down and get involved?
I would say, if you want to meet some beautiful dogs in a wonderful location, some rather wonderful people, and have a bit of fun, really. Learn a bit about abandoned or stray dogs, but interrelate with, say, for instance, a beautiful dog like Freedom there, who you can see is so human-friendly. Just, you know, have a good time, basically. Communicate, have a good time, and learn a bit about dogs.
And Maria, what would you say to encourage people to come down and join the fun?
Yeah, I mean, just come and meet us and have a chat. Even if you're a little bit nervous about doing some kilometres, we'll do them for you. So if you think, oh, I'd just like to come, Freedom will be there. So you can come and say hello to Freedom. The team are really friendly. You might be interested in volunteering, or you might be interested in fostering or adopting from us. We'll have all that information with us. And if you just want to help and make a difference, but you don't want to get on the bike, then we'll do it for you. So just come see us and say hello.
Now, obviously, you've got Freedom sat with you there, absolutely gorgeous dog. Would you recommend people adopting from a charity like Saving Strays instead of purchasing a new puppy?
Absolutely, 100%. Don't purchase a new puppy from a breeder. Always rescue a dog. There are thousands of dogs that need homes. And these breeders who produce dogs, as many as they can, a lot of them require a huge amount of expense in terms of veterinary bills, because they are overbred. They are taken away from their mothers far too early. You see so many dogs of 8 weeks old who are up for sale. They should never be separated from their mother unless they are at least 3 months and preferably 16 weeks, so that everything about them has improved by being in the company of their mother. Breeding dogs is a commercial enterprise. Rescuing dogs is an altruistic, compassionate one.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just add to that with regards to Saving Strays, we are really passionate about our rehoming process. We kind of feel it's almost a bit like, not that I've ever done a dating agency, but we feel it's a bit like that concept of finding the perfect match. So people may approach us and say, we would really love to adopt that dog. And then we do an interview, we do a home check, and then we say, do you know what, actually, we think we've got a better match for you. We have an amazing lady who works with us called Emma Phillips, who's a clinical behaviourist. And you get a half hour session with her to settle your new dog in, into your family. So you get such a huge amount of support from us through the entire process. That I think I'd like to say we make it a really comfortable just a comfortable experience for everyone.
And how easy is it to adopt a dog from a kill shelter like you did with Freedom?
At that point, it takes a lot of negotiation. So it's quite a complex system out in Bosnia. I mean, it took us several days to negotiate. We negotiated the release of 8, and that then actually only 4 arrived. So it then took us another 2 months to negotiate the release of the next one, and then it took us another 11 months to get the final 3 out. So from our perspective, we have quite a lot of work to do a lot of the time. Sometimes you can just walk in and pull them out. But the process in from direct to us is much simpler. It's thorough, but it's very simple, and you'll find the team are really friendly and really supportive.
And why do you think the people running these kill stations are so reluctant to hand over the dogs? Because you'd think they want to get rid of them anyway, so why wouldn't they just say yes, take as many dogs as you'd like?
Such a good question. I think there's an element of control. I think it's a lot to do with finances and money. A lot of them are paid per dog. And also, I think, I don't know if Peter will agree, it's a different mindset out there. The mindset for not everybody, but certainly for a selection of the society, is just that they don't have the same relationship that we have with these beautiful sentient beings. They just don't. They're a commodity, or they're an object. You know, they're not a living, sentient, breathing, beautiful friend. I mean, that's not what they are. They're a commodity. So Frieden's taking her lead now. So I think from my experience, that's why. I mean, there are some, the stations are run mainly by dog catchers. I have worked with a couple of dog catchers who have dog catching licenses who are brilliant. They are compassionate, they're kind. I know one dog catcher who actually has his own rescue. So, you know, you have to be, you can't completely generalize on this thing, but we've got a long way to go just to change that general mindset out there. And it's not just that country. There's, as Peter will say, there's countries all around the world who just have been conditioned to treat these lovely animals and other animals in just the most barbaric way. So you just got to keep
in general, Maria, it is the question of money. There is a bounty attached to having the dogs. So it's, you know, it's a financial imperative as far as they're concerned, not a social compassionate one. And also once they're in, they can be forgotten about, and they still get the money for them. So and there is also a situation which is rather dreadful in certainly in Bosnia, and it happens in Romania as well, that, you know, dogs are taken from the streets, they are neutered and put back on the streets, and sometimes the dog catchers catch the neutered dogs again because there is a bounty attached to it. So it's a terrible commercial imperative that is quite shocking.
Yeah, well, that's why events like Pedal for Paws are so, so vital. Just to touch on quickly, I know that Frieden was recently invited to Parliament. Tell us about that.
She was. The very amazing Mark Abraham and AppDog, which Peter is involved with as well, they reached out to Saving Strays and asked us to be a part of a wonderful event they had. They have them quarterly, do they, Peter? Is it quarterly they have these events?
Yeah, sometimes more, but certainly quarterly. Yeah.
And they were looking at the stray dog crisis and the foreign dog crisis, and just the terrible situation that we've got in this country as well, with abandoned dogs, people having to give up their companion animals. And so we were invited along, and Frieden was invited too. I was invited to say a few words. And I have to say, I was very proud of her. She completely charmed everybody. We had wonderful policemen as we went in to, into Portcullis House, kind of coming away from their stations momentarily and getting on their knees and giving her a kiss and a cuddle. And 6-foot armed guards just saying, could I please say hello? So she just went in there, charmed everybody, met a lot of very nice, like-minded politicians from all parties. And I think she did a grand job as our ambassador.
Absolutely beautiful. In fact, you know, if you're interested in talking about rescuing as opposed to purchasing dogs, you might want to interview Mark Abraham, who is an expert on that problem. He is the person who passed through Lucy's Law. And it would be fascinating for your listeners possibly to hear him speak, because he is absolutely on the money and highly qualified on that subject.
Last couple of questions, if I can get you guys to both say something on this. Starting with you, Peter, what would you say to encourage people to donate to Pedal for Paws event?
Well, first of all, I would say visit their site because it is absolutely, or our site, I should say, because it's absolutely wonderful. You'll see some wonderful dogs. Saving Strays is doing remarkable work in Bosnia. The shelter that Maria and the team have created with our shelter partners, Mirsad and Melissa, who are terrific, is a lovely shelter with about 75 dogs there at the moment. There is a space for them to exercise, which a lot of shelters don't have. They are treated with the greatest respect and care. And there is now, Maria is introducing a socializing program so that when the dogs come here to be adopted, they are used to the company of humans and are more human friendly and less frightened because they come from the streets. And basically because the charity is doing, I think, the most sensational work.
And what about you, Maria? Why would you say to people to donate as much or as little as possible to Saving Strays?
It's very, very important, I would say, to just donate what you can, because every single pound makes a difference. I do think that some people think a pound won't help and they just don't donate, but it does, because all those pounds add up. And if you donate up to £5, then you're donating towards actually feeding a dog for a day or a couple of days. So really, really important. As far as coming along this Sunday on the 23rd, you're going to have fun. One Summer's Day is going to be great fun. There's going to be lots going on. You can come and meet us, meet Freedom. There might be a couple of other rescue dogs there. We're a lovely team. It's going to be a family day. And if you like a bit of football, then on the 29th, we're at Cobham Football Club. And there's going to be quite a few matches playing and we're going to have a great time during the day. And then in the evening, if you like really beautiful food, it's going to be plant-based that evening because the Dewsmith are plant-based. It's all organic. Then buy a ticket, come along. We've got some fantastic raffle prizes donated by the local businesses. And you're just going to have a really good time, but you're going to be contributing to the welfare and care of dogs in need.
And final question, 10K is the target, I believe. Remind everyone where they can donate if they can't come down on the 23rd and 29th. How can they donate?
So you can donate via the Saving Strays website, which is savingstrays.org.uk, and via any of our social media channels. That's X, Facebook and Instagram.
Might be worth mentioning that the great Rick Wakeman is also a patron for Saving Strays, great friend of mine and Maria's. He has just rescued Lux from Sarajevo, from Saving Strays, the most beautiful, beautiful dog. He has another dog from Saving Strays as well. He is someone you might indeed want to have a chat with at some time as well about the charity. He's just absolutely brilliant, most brilliant man, the best keyboard player in the world, but also a great, great, compassionate human being alongside his wonderful wife, Rachel.